Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are so excited about what God is going to tell us today. Hallelujah. Welcome on behalf of our Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. We thank God for all of you who are here in the building and those of you online. We trust that you are doing well and God is on his throne, so everything, he's still in control. No matter what things look like, he's still in control. Amen. And he has a good thoughts towards you. Amen. And there's an expected end that he has for you. So he hopes and he's working on to make sure that everything works out in your favor. For all things work together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose and those who love the Lord. And I'm sure we love the Lord. We are called according to his purpose. Amen. So everything, not some things, but everything is going to work together for our good. Hallelujah. So when somebody comes trying to hate on you, you give them a paycheck because they're working for your good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they're trying to pull you down, you give them a paycheck because they're working for your good. Hallelujah. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Hallelujah. We thank God for today. Amen. We're in the book of Romans, and we're telling you Paul is getting deep down into this thing. Amen. It ain't about what you do. It's just the grace of God. Hallelujah. Because whatever we do is by his grace anyway. If he allows us to do anything, it is the grace of God. Amen. So we're going to get started and have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right in and start in the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah.
Bless you, Lord God. Mm. We just glorify you, Lord. We just magnify your name, Lord God. You are so worthy of the
thank
glory,
you, Lord Jesus.
God. You are so worthy of the glory, God.
Thank
we
you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Through our peace, through our joy, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that we surrender ourselves unto you right now. We are praying, Lord God, that you give us an ear to hear, a heart to receive
yes.
the word as it comes forth unto faith, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for helping us to trust you
yes.
with all of our heart, leaning not to our own understanding, but in everything, acknowledging you. And God, we know that you will direct our pathway.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God, for this word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity to come out and teach your word and gather in fellowship at noonday. Hallelujah. And Sunday morning,
hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's by your grace and your mercy, mm. Lord God, that you are keeping us, that you are molding us, that you are shaping us, oh God. We are thanking you, Lord God, hallelujah, for prosperity, Lord God, hallelujah, in the house.
Yes,
we are thanking you, Lord God, for joy. We are thanking you for peace, Lord God. We are thanking you, Lord God, for meekness and kindness and gentleness in this house, Lord God. And thank you for love, oh God, in this place, yes. Lord God. We bless you right now, God. Bless those that are listening in. Bless those that are in the house. Bless our bishop. Oh, God, thank you, Lord God, for the leadership and every member at the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle. Oh, God, Lord, we praise and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. 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 So we see where we're now dealing with. We talk about what Abraham received, which was righteousness. Then we talked about how he received it. And then now we're dealing with when he received it. He received it before he was circumcised. it was before he was circumcised, his faith was counted to him for righteousness. While he was in uncircumcision, it was imputed, and he was not circumcised till, and some people say that Abraham was expressly said as justified by faith 14 years some say, for 25 years before he was circumcised. But he still believed. And so now this is the apostle takes notice in answering to the question, cometh this blessedness then on the circumcision only or on the uncircumcision also? Abraham was pardoned and accepted in uncircumcision, a circumstance which it may silence the fear of the poor uncircumcised Gentiles, so it might lower the pride or the conceitedness of the Jews. So now it brings everybody on one level, level the playing field. So who glorified it? And so those Jews who glorified in circumcision. So if they had the monopoly on all happiness, here are two reasons why Abraham was justified by faith in his uncircumcision. And so as we begin to go into this, and how it says that you talk about the circumcision, and it acted as a seal. In the 11th verse, it says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, is what sealed his righteousness. And so I begin to look at the word seal. Okay, and so how do we seal? And so the Greek word for seal is S-P-H-R-A-G-I-S. And it says a seal or signet, the seal of the living God, is an emblem of ownership and security. Here, combined with that which is destination, Ezekiel 9 and 4. And it says that the person to be sealed being secured from destruction and marked for reward. Oh, glory. And the impression of a seal is on a book or roll, combining with the ideas and security of the destination there, those who secretly or postponed of disclosure. Metaphorically, in Romans 4:11, where we are right now, says the circumcision as an authentic, I can't pronounce it, making it authentic. There you go. Of the righteousness of Abraham, and an external attestation of the covenant made by him by God. The rabbis call circumcision the seal of Abraham. So the seal now confirms something, right? And it sets it apart, and it protects it for a later time. So our faith seals us. And so it also says, and I don't want to take too long in here, but and when I have sealed this them with this fruit, the formal ratification of the ministry of church, trying to say where he said that the Holy Ghost seals us till the day of redemption. So we are sealed. Now faith, our faith, which allows us to receive the Holy Ghost now seals us till the day of redemption. So now we are secured because we are sealed. When something is sealed, that means it hasn't been tampered with. You know, they, because of the stuff that they were starting to put all this stuff in the bottles and trying to kill people, they start to now seal Everything that produced have to have a seal, and if the seal is broken, you shouldn't buy it, right? No matter what it is right now, everything has this seal on it. So as our faith, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, we are till the day of redemption. So our faith seals us, not what we do.
Right.
Now, the thing is, what gets us all messed up is because of our faith, we do certain things. You see? Because of what we believe, we do certain things, or certain things we don't do. But it ain't what we do makes us right. Right in us makes us do the things we do. Right? But sometimes we get it twisted. We want to make it about what we do as opposed to why we do it. Because a lot of people do things just to be doing things. They do it to be noticed. They do it so somebody can recognize them. They do it so they can, again, be prideful like these Jews saying that we are circumcised, right? And so as a Christian, you don't want it to just be what you do because your action sometimes falls short. Have you ever tried to do something for somebody that you wanted to surprise them?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do something so good, like somebody, ashtray, thinking they were doing a good thing. Not knowing that it fell short, right? So the person who received it had to understand that it wasn't what they did when they gave him, but it's the intent to give it in. You see the difference? And it makes a difference, right? If you understand why somebody's doing it, you can understand it. But if you just look at what they did, you may not have the same appreciation for it, right? But you understand. So now, whatever we do, we do it unto the Lord. So we do it so God can get glorified. We don't do so man can look on us. We don't preach so somebody can say, oh, that's a great preacher. No, we do it so God can be glorified. If we do anything for us to get glory, we're in a bad shape. We're just like these Jews talking about circumcision. But Paul again is telling them, even though you're bragging on Abraham, Abraham was not circumcised when he believed God. So it ain't about your circumcision. It's about believing God. So sometimes we put the horse before the cart. I mean, the cart before the horse.
We know we go down in the water. That's what the church do. It's a tradition, but the water is not what makes us saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you open up a can of worms because I do have something to say about seals.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bring it right quick. Seals to guarantee security or indicate ownership. The seal have no effect unless accompanied by faith. The tradition of saints have a seal with God name protecting them from judgment. That's Revelation 9 and 4. Revelation 22 and 4. Throughout eternity, all of God's people will bear this mark of identification. God is the down payment that anticipates the future. Full redemption of God, Mark possessed Ephesians 1 and 14, also 2 Corinthians. God's sealing separates the believers from the world and from him or her unholy past.
Okay. Awesome.
And, you know, I had to be talking so much. One more thing. Now, when you look at the seal, there were kings in the Bible who had a seal that they could stamp when they wanted something done. King Ahab was one of the persons.
y'all know the story about the vineyard. Okay, when Jezebel went behind him and did some undercover stuff. So therefore, you know, the Lord began, his wrath began to fall upon King Ahab, his whole family. And I'm not going to get into it because y'all know the story, the whole family and everybody. But when I began to read how it fell upon King Ahab, I said, Lord, it's awesome how when we do underhanded, undercover stuff, and then you begin to send your prophet to speak to us, and we begin to humble ourselves. That's when we begin to want to say, hey, Lord, I'm going to fast. I'm going to try to make it right. But the Lord did kind of spare him, but what the Lord said was going to take place still took place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. 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 That's right.
Amen. So we are sealed by our faith. Mm-hmm. And that's how we have access to. Nicodemus said, what must I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And he said, if you're not born again, you can't even see. We ain't talking about enter now. He said, you can't even see the king. So if you're not born again, forget about entering. You can't even see it. And so you must be born again, and you're born of the water and of the spirit. Now, as far as baptism and circumcision, circumcision is for a sect of religious people that they believe in. That did not get them righteousness. That's what Paul is telling me. Jesus is a Jew. I believe he was circumcised. On the eighth day, he went to Simeon, right? So. But Jesus said, as far as baptism is, that's an outward show to the world that you are following the steps of Jesus. Baptism won't get you into heaven. It won't get you into heaven. It won't. Jesus, even communion, he says, often as you do this in remembrance of me. That don't mean if you got saved and you never have communion that you're going to go to hell. Okay? Your faith that Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead, that faith changes your life, changes your destiny. Okay? So it ain't, again, what we do is why we do it. So when we try to do, to compare with tradition and rituals and different things we do, it can't supersede your faith. Because faith is what gives us access to the king. Nothing else does. You can run over and flip three times and call, tell Hail Marys or whatever. It don't get you into the kingdom. You can talk about Mary all you want. You know, they talk about Mary, blessed, ask Mary to forgive their sins. Mary had to get her own sin forgiven. You know, so all this stuff that people, your tradition and things that people do is contrary to the word of God. And this the path that Paul had. And I could imagine, because, you know, and I'm trying to distinguish people or nothing like that, but, you know, when you, some Jewish people have been known to be arrogant about who they are and, you know, and rambunctious about it. And so Paul had to really straighten them out. And God uses people who are qualified to straighten them out. Now, another person may not have been qualified to tell these Jews what they must do as far as their faith or circumcision. But because Paul was one of the Pharisees, and he's been there, he's done that, he was in their shoes having the same talk that they talk, the same attitude they had. He had the same thing. So he's one, before his conversion, he was in their shoes. So he know what they're dealing with. He know their mindset. He know what they're thinking of. So he's trying to tell them, hey, it ain't about that, buddy. And that's why the first, you know, we, I used to always listen to the Beatitudes. And and until God gave me the revelation that Jesus was trying to tell them, when he said repent, which was his first message, he said, stop thinking the way y'all thought in the Old Testament. He went to each one of them, each one of the commandments, and he said, this is how you look at it now. It ain't about the actual act. It's about the intent of the act. He said, if you look on a brother, if you look on a woman and desire, you already have committed adultery. If you think evil of somebody without a cause, you're a murderer. So he's changing. He began to tell him, no. Don't be thinking about what you, it ain't about the act. It ain't what you do. Because somebody can hate you and be smiling in your face all the time, talking behind your back all the way. But they are considered as murderers. They ain't lift a finger to you. They ain't did nothing to you physically. So Jesus began to preach. And you know, we saw the Beatitudes and thought about blessed out of death, blessed. But there's more to it than that. There's much more to it. And until it clicked in my head that Jesus is telling them, stop thinking this way. This is the way you got to think. You got to repent. Change your way of thinking. Because a lot of people, and those, and Paul is saying these Jews, they want to think about, oh, the law said this. A lot of them try to catch Jesus in a trap a lot of times. They brought the little lady out of bed, caught in adultery. They ain't care nothing about that little lady. They want to try to trap Jesus. Okay, the law says this. What you going to say? You know, so we got to make sure that we're not concerned about the actual doing, the rally action, but the intent of our heart. Why are we doing it? Even when we come to worship, you come to worship for somebody to watch you. Who getting the glory out of that? Right? I mean, you can be the one shout. Nobody else shouting but you. But you run all around the church, and ain't no spirit in it at all. Yes, there is. Yeah. Yeah, this is spirit. For real. But it ain't what you do. Go ahead.
Well, look at that. So far as, you know, the Gentile and the uncircumcised, and so Paul was telling the Jews, he was talking about, like, of the circumcision, and to all who walk in by faith, it was by Abraham, the one calling, he was a Gentile. So Abraham became the father of faith of all Gentiles in and by his faith. And he was telling them that justification by faith, hey, I know you Jews not going to like this, but justification by faith belongs to the Gentiles before it belonged to you. So I know you think you fucked up in the law and you got all this. He said, but that route, we talk about transition, the route you have to go now, you know, and you talking about Father Abraham, you know, the it belongs to the Gentiles by faith, justification, mm-hmm. before it belongs to you. And another thing that belonged to the Gentiles, you know, by faith, I mean, they were doing it in a certain way in their tithing, because we were having give a tenth of this in your grain in your field. But so far as the way we look at it today, tithing belonged to the Gentile because Abraham was the first one to tithe with the finances, with money to Melchizedek, of what Melchizedek had given. So here's this stuff that, you know, that they all proud about and everything. And Paul, I know he was trying to break it to him gently. What are you talking about? You know, the faith y'all talking about, Gentiles had it first. Oh, you talking about tithing? Oh, Gentiles did it first. I'm like, hey, draft it in. But that's just a word, because he's really trying to tell them, you know, we're on the same playing field now, but in actuality, by a circumcision of the heart, that you have to come up to where these Gentiles believe by faith of the stuff that, you know, we've been trying to tell you for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way we got nothing to boast about.
Nothing.
We got nothing to boast about. And we should never. This human nature is so. And you know, I used to. The thought I used to have is, because we're made in the image of God and his likeness, right? And so God loves praise. So we as humans, we love praise. Yeah. That's why people pay big money to go to a game. Because the athletes are motivated by the praise. They even call it the sixth man or the additional players, because it adds to their performance, right? And so we got to be, as human beings, we got to be careful not to get puffed up with the praise, because Jesus showed a good example when it's in the book of John. They start saying, "Oh, you so good." He said, "Hey, hey." Don't put that on me, because I know what's in y'all. That's what he said. I know what's in y'all. But as human beings, we have to be very careful, and we should get motivated by praise, but don't think it's about us. Think about it as the grace of God that favored us to be able to do what we do, not because we just got it like that. Right?
Be puffed up by praise, and that's the only thing that encourages us, and we don't get that praise, then we're going to be sad creatures, because now you don't have a praise. And in this world, you may not get a praise. You've got to know, and the Bible talks about encouraging yourself.
Right.
And sometimes you do have to encourage yourself. You wouldn't put it in the Bible if it wasn't something that was really real. So we can't get puffed. We can't, and I don't want to say puffed up, but you can't think that you want to always have someone that is going to be telling you, "Oh, you did a great job," because you may not get that. You gotta. We all have to be mature enough to know that, and then don't be looking for it all the time, because it may not come. You know. Other than that, you're gonna have you're gonna be wavering in your what you do in your faith. Yeah. Yeah.
13 and 14.
Okay.
I have the New American Standard, verse 13. Oh, okay, 13 and 14. For the promise of Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would be heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. So, but the heir to the world, I thought that's an interesting statement, that he was an heir to the world. This verse choosing a blessing to all nations of the earth. That when we say the Abrahamic blessing, and so it was just like, you know, through him, all the blessings would come through him that would go through all the nations of the earth. And that's also in Psalms 37. And then it's something, that's what you mentioned, the Beatitudes, because that's what I had taken down in Matthew 5, the blessed are. So, but all of these were coming, all of the blessings coming through Father Abraham, which they had many sons and many nations. The word said, again, in Psalms, that all the nations would be blessed from Abraham. He was the one that carried this faith and the blessing of the Father. And even though Paul, so he was telling them, so these works when Jesus came, he was trying to relate this for the Jews. You know, it's Father Abraham, but you know, when the lady, when he went to Samaria, see Samaria, and the Samaritan lady was at the well, and so she was saying, "Oh, we worship our fathers. We worship our fathers Jacob and all of them on this mountain. And are you greater than this?" And so then, Father Abraham is great, and Jacob, Isaac, and all the they're great. And so, but Jesus has to say, the one who stands before you is greater than them. Oh, no, we expect the Messiah someday. Mm. And so then he said, the one you're looking at, I am he. Mm. So, so here it was, she being this Samaritan and this Gentile, she just couldn't believe it. And so this Samaritan woman who, they were all considered, you know, but they were among a mixture of those that were left behind when Babylon, you know, took the cream of the crop out of Jerusalem and took all of the ones with the gifts and talents and all. Oh, boy.
Mm.
Something just clicked. Okay, but I'm going to let that go right now.
Something just clicked.
No. Yeah, no. When you extrapolate the best or you think you have from a certain place and you going on. But anyway, and so these Samaritans, but look what happened. Because of that, the Samaritan woman, she was the first one enlightened to carry the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Samaritan that helped somebody on the fallen man beating up on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they called him the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was the of the 10 lepers that got cleansed, and the word said one of them turned around and went back to thank.
Guess what?
He was a Samaritan.
Yeah.
So it's the Gentiles who are doing all of this stuff, you know, that the Jews are not doing,
mm-hmm.
and so rightfully so. Abraham is their father, likewise.
Likewise. Well.
And even further down, Paul saying I can't remember what church is saying that. Go ahead.
So you just did 13.
Yeah. But no, I was thinking on 14. Well, in essence, what it's just saying is the law kept you, but it did not make you heir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
And so the promise was that God would make him the father of many nations. He didn't say one nation. He said many nations. And all the nations of the world will be blessed by you. And so Abraham, being not circumcised, received the promise of who we will be. And it's not what he did that made him right. It was the faith to believe the promise to a God who would come and tell you that who you don't know, but first was revealed to you by his voice.
Mm-hmm.
We know we talked about faith come by hearing by the word of God. So when he heard the voice of God, he believed.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Bible around. There was no scroll. There was nothing around for him to have anything to fall back on to say, well, okay, this must be God.
Mm-hmm.
This must be the true and living God. But when he heard the voice of God, when he heard the voice of God, it resonated in him. And that gave him faith because he heard the voice of God. Then, so when he heard the voice of God, he believed.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted the promise.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we live today and we go through different struggles, different things in our lives, have we accepted the promise?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. He told us that blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be the field. Blessings will overflow you.
Overtake you.
Overtake you. Your enemies that comes against you one way. Oh, glory, they'll be splattered when they hit you. They'll leave you seven ways. Woo! So do we believe the promise? We have. Paul says, a great cloud of witnesses. Abraham, he had no witness. He didn't have no witness, but then he heard the promise. He accepted the promise. This is God. And what he say, he can make it good. He had nobody to tell him that. But when he heard. So sometimes we could get to a place. Have you ever been to a place where you've been trying to figure out how you're going to work this thing out? You've been trying this, and you're thinking God tell you, go to that person, go to this person, do this. You're going all around trying to figure things out, and all of a sudden, God blocks everybody that you could go to, that you know would come through for you. But this time, they did not come through for you. And so you have to now go to who? You got to go to him. And as you go to him, all of a sudden you hear him clearly say, this is what you need to do. And without hesitation, without any second thoughts, all of a sudden now you get empowered to just walk it out. And after you done got through and did what you did and God worked it out, you look back and say, did I really do that? You like Steve Urkel, did I do that? You know, because of the faith has taken over and it's producer action. The action didn't produce your faith, but your faith produced the action. So we got to make sure we keep the right things in front of the right things in the right place, right? And so the promise that he heard, he believed it. Not because of what he did, but because of his faith. And to believe that you are an old man, an elderly man, your wife is barren. And I don't want to get too far down because we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
the promise, what God has promised to us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So even when things seem like you feel all by yourself, you got to know for yourself you are not alone.
Yeah.
You are not alone. No matter how lonely you feel, you are not alone. And how to get your mind to operate in that, he said he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you feel that he's not there, I dare you to praise him. I dare you to worship him. If you feel he's not there, start to get into worship. Start to praise him. And I guarantee you the presence of God would overpower you and envelop where you are. So we got to believe his promises. We cannot take none of his promises. God has showed us how we need to live this life.
Mm-hmm.
And he promised us something. It's not by what we do. It's by the intent of why we're doing it. Let's make sure we get that
mm-hmm.
deep down in us. Why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what really gets impact on anything is you do it from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you do something from the heart, guess what? Others can see it.
Mm-hmm.
They know you're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
You can be doing a good job, but they can tell if you're just going through.
Mm-hmm.
You just
okay.
on your way through. They can tell. But if you do it from your heart, it
mm-hmm.
has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot allow any work, anything we do, anything we think we can do to supersede or trump faith in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We believe in God's word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's his promise. That's his promise. And he said his word was never. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said, bless your feet and the fish, bless your feet, bless your be the fruit of that basket. Everything that you have will be blessed. These blessings will always take you. Is that a promise?
Mm-hmm.
And so if he promised it, he's big enough and bad enough to fulfill it. It ain't like me or you. We got limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want an airplane,
mm-hmm.
I can't get it for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you need to own a city, God got it. I can. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he has no limitations. So but we got to believe if he promises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's good with it. Anything else on 14 and 13 and 14? That's awesome. Okay, Deacon Bass, 15 and 16.
The law brings wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be in. Okay, there may be grace and praise, may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham.
Mm.
He is the father of all.
Amen.
As 15, if there is no law, there is trust of because the law brings wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is
mm-hmm.
no law, there is no transgression.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about that. That in the world, that even now, everybody, the law is the law.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
everybody must abide by the law.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't abide by the law, then there's going to be consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
16, the problem comes by faith. I think we've already talked about that. Comes by faith so that it may be grace, may be guaranteed to all. That means that we've got to have the faith, Abraham,
mm-hmm.
that all things will be gathered and completed the promise of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Good job.
And by faith, we become Abraham's seed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, we become Abraham's seed. And this is awesome that grace. Therefore, it is faith that we might be of grace. And the end of the promise might it be sure that all seed, not to that only which is of the law, And you know, the law only is for punishment. That's why he said wrath. So the law says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. It didn't say, here's how not to do it. But grace, by faith, tells us you don't have to do it. Because I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to change the way you think about it. I'm going to change the way you see it. But the law just tells you, if you do this, we're going to take you out of stone. That's what the law is going to do. The law is going to tell you what your punishment is.
Yeah.
But grace is going to tell you, you don't have to. There you go.
Change your heart.
And the thing about some people who are legalistic, they would try to hold you to some law. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not supposed to. If you're doing your tithes, you should do this, do that, and hold you to it as if you're gonna commit a sin. If you didn't do it right, but you can't hold people and make a condemn for what they do. But if they want to do the right thing, that's what's important. Because a lot of times we err in stuff that we do unknowingly. We do some stuff like, oh, you didn't even know that. So if you point it out, if you see it, it ain't your point to go to the person and say, nah, you know better than the flutter. No, say now. Case in point. One of our young people. They do some great posts, okay? But when he put God's word, when he put a small z. So I say, listen, man, I love your posts, great. But anytime you put the heart in, you have to put a small z. Put a capital Z. You know, I went to him with that rather than saying, man, what talking about? Who God you talking about? The little small z you talking about? The pagan God you talking about? And I know who's talking about. He just don't have that understanding. And so my place is not to condemn him for what he did. To tell him, correct him and say, listen, this is how you do. So when somebody sees you put God out there, you got a capital G, they don't misunderstand what God's talking about. Mm-hmm. He ain't trying to do nothing. He ain't trying to belittle God. Mm-hmm. He just don't know better, right? And so that's how we got to look at things as opposed to just, oh, look at you. You shit no better. You've been in Sunday school. You know, we can't do that. Because that's trying to judge him based on that. But what grace does is tell you how, as opposed to just, all I'm telling you is just, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. So, okay. How do I do it right? Is what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a comment?
Yeah, in those two verses that Brother Bass read, I picked out five kind of leading or strong words in there, and I had just written them down. But in verse 15, I just kind of shortened it to a sentence that said, the law doesn't incorporate works of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it just is there to reprimand and to tell you that you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't. Works of mercy. I said the law doesn't incorporate works of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even now when they trying to, you know, blame this on this person or select this person or that, just and then they'll be like, well, the law says this, I'm following the law. And even though people would use it even back in the day, and the law wasn't a good law or godly law, but they still were following that law. You know, it's never been updated and things and Jim Crow laws and all, but the law said that.
Mm-hmm.
But they still was just, you know, but it just didn't, you know, filter over into another century. But then the other one is faith. I thought this was good. Faith works in accordance with grace. I can't read my right. Oh, grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So faith works in accordance with grace
Mm-hmm.
So that the promise will be guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So in those two verses, it was mercy, grace, and I said, oh, man, look at everything we need.
So the law
is a schoolmaster.
Yep.
And once you get born again, the law don't really work against you. You accept it, because in the Word it talks about Jesus didn't come to get rid of the law. He came to that the law might be fulfilled. And so when we, our heart is changed, someone said that, once our heart is changed, then we look at the law differently. And the law helps us, instead of it being like, we're looking at it like something evil, we look at it like it is a schoolmaster that is showing us that this is wrong. So then we see that this is wrong, then now we can make a correction. Because in some things, we just don't know it's wrong. And so as the law show us is wrong in the spirit and in the natural, then our heart changes to receive that if we are born again. Mm-hmm.
And so this next section, I'm gonna save for next week, because we get into that. We need to go to 21 if we have started 17.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna have to get ready for 17 to 21 at least, so we can really, really get into his faith and what that composed of. And this same section of this scripture inspired me to write a book called There Is Faith Beyond the Reasons to Doubt. There is hope beyond the reasons to doubt. And I also wrote a song, I Want You to Know There's Hope. No matter what you're dealing with, I want you to know there's hope. And so we're going to find out all about hope when we talk about what Abraham did, all the reasons he had to doubt. He had a lot of reasons to doubt, didn't he? And sometimes we have a lot of reasons we can doubt, but there's hope beyond all of that. No matter how dark, no matter how bleak it looks, there's hope beyond all of that. And so the Bible said that hope, who against hope believe in hope. Woo! That's why when you're talking about hope a few minutes, the substance, I was like, yeah, let's wait till next week. We talk about the substance and hope. So let's think about substance and hope. So tear apart and unpack Hebrews 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. Hope, substance. Hope, substance. Hope, substance. But you can't have hope without substance. Hebrews 11 and 1. And faith is the substance of things, and it's the proof. God Almighty. Woo! Oh my God! So yeah, we want to get started. That's gonna take us a little bit to get. hallelujah! So next week let's get into that. Thank God for us.
All right, come on and give God glory, give Him praise.
Hallelujah! Glory.
Thank you.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. We want to encourage you to pay your tithe today. Those online and those here, pay your tithe. Give your offering and a tithe. For those online, if you are giving your tithe, please text me the amount at 770-906-0607. Those in the house, I have my Twitter here, and you can do check, cash, or you can use your app here in the audience. So we are asking that you go in and give your offering today. Father, we bless you. We honor
you.
God, we glorify you and we magnify your name, Lord.
Thank you.
We lift you up and we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. We thank you for this word that we have heard today, Lord. Let us live thereby, Lord. And as we give, Lord God, give it back to us, Lord. Press together, shaking together, and running over shall men continue to give unto our bosom.
Thank you.
And we give you glory and we give you praise, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can do, you can write it on the paper and you can drop it out there.
Amen.